Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Boy, have we got a lot to get into. We got ESPN Madison's Alex Strofe on to talk about some Badger football and basketball. We'll have Hatchet boys swim coach Teresa Lesperance in to talk about the team's start to the season. Bucks winning their in-season tournament quarterfinal matchup. Whole lot to get into. But you know what? I think we know where we should begin. Let's begin in Green Bay. You can never guess what you get here. I mean, my God. That's essentially the reaction that I have with this Green Bay Packer team at the moment. My goodness, has this been a run for Green Bay. Packers get their third straight win, fourth win in their last five games, knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs 27-19. And I think that you would agree, that is a true love story. Definitely had to do it. So again, I have to ask you, Packer fans. Do you? Do you believe now? I mean, in all seriousness, I remember saying when they were going through the rough stretch, it's incredibly impossible to judge Jordan Love after just half a season. Look at what has happened over the last few games. He has performed absolutely unbelievable. Now, let's go ahead and talk about this from a team perspective here. Don't look now, folks. Packers currently have the seventh playoff spot in the NFL. Think about that for a second. Seventh playoff spot in the NFL. If the season were to end today, Green Bay would be in the postseason. Just to think, back in November, this team was 2-5 and scrounging for a win against the Rams. They have come together at the right time and have found a way to roll off four wins in five games. Now, obviously, I took the win with the Rams with a grain of salt because that was against a backup quarterback. But confidence is what Green Bay needed. They lost to Pittsburgh. That one went all the way down to the wire again. Jordan Love threw two picks in the fourth quarter. I don't really think any of them were his fault. Then they play the Chargers. And the Chargers, who are perennial underachievers, Brandon Staley will probably get fired at the end of the season, all things considered. And that was the kickstart they needed. Then they go to Detroit and beat them on Thanksgiving. And now, and of course I was there, let me tell you, that was the most electric Lambeau Field has been all season long, and for good reason. 27-19, Packers knock off the Chiefs. And I'm trying to comprehend this. This is the same team that lost four straight to Detroit. Understandable. They lost to the Raiders. That was rough. They lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Vikings at home. That was rough. Now Minnesota, they are currently in the mix. They currently have the number six spot with Joshua Dobbs, and they're getting Justin Jefferson back. But they are currently in the seventh spot. If the season were to end today, they would go to San Francisco and play the 49ers. They are currently owning the tiebreaker over the Rams because they beat them, and over the Saints because they beat them, plus Seattle has fallen out of the postseason picture as well. We are now legitimately talking about Green Bay as a playoff team. Think about that. We were talking about this team potentially going for a top 10 pick just a few weeks ago. Amazing what can happen in an NFL season. And I'm going to go ahead and just throw this out there for you. Because something very, very interesting happened to me. I was walking out of the mezzanine, so I was there covering the game, obviously. And one of the things that we do is that you take an elevator, essentially, you take stairs up to the mezzanine as you walk into the stadium. Then you go up to the mezzanine, and then you walk across, essentially, like the 100 sections. There's like a little walkway that you take right to the elevators where they'll take you up to the press box to cover the games. I remember coming back down after the game ended and walking down to the mezzanine to head down to the media auditorium to hear Coach Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love speak. And there were two chants that rang through Lambeau. The first one was go Pack go, obviously. Because Green Bay, they won three straight. Nothing better than that. But then there was another chant that faintly came out as I exited down to the media auditorium. Run the table. Run the table part two could very well be in effect. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that is where Green Bay definitely has the ability to win next game. And again, you're just going to take it one at a time at this moment. Let's go ahead and go to the stats for the game. Jordan Love, another great performance, 25 of 36, 267 yards, three touchdowns. He now has eight touchdowns and three and zero interceptions in his last three games. He has now thrown for nearly 900 yards. This, let me tell you something. This Jordan Love may very well be the answer that Green Bay needs at the quarterback position. And it seems like that this was the right move to bring in Love, because it was clear that Aaron Rodgers, I know that he was, you know, he said all the right things at the time. You know, he was very, very manipulative, as, you know, most athletes are in the media. But now you can understand why Green Bay made the move to go to Jordan Love. Christian Watson, who, by the way, got hurt with a hamstring injury. Hope he's okay. Haven't heard anything serious from him. He had seven catches, 71 yards, and two scores. That was his best performance of the season so far. Quay Walker had a big night, 13 tackles. Keyshawn Nixon with a big interception on Mahomes at the end of the game. Packers had three sacks. They had five players with at least a half a sack. Rashawn Gary had a half a sack. Lucas Van Ness had a sack. Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, Carl Brooks. All of these guys contributed in some sort of way on the defensive line. And the biggest point I want to take away from Green Bay this past Sunday is this. This team is growing up. This team is growing up. You're seeing it right before your very eyes. Watson, Reed, Kraft, Wicks, Dylan, all of these guys are growing up right before your very eyes. Even Zach Tom on the offensive line. Left tackle to me is still a question mark, but Rashid Walker's been performing a lot better in the second half of the season so far. But now you've got Elgin Jenkins. Josh Myers is starting to look like the second-round pick that the Packers invested in back a couple of years ago. Starting to seem like he's worth it. And here's the most impressive part. They're winning these games without Aaron Jones or Jaire Alexander, who's Green Bay's two best players on both sides of the ball. Watson had his best game. Reed is being consistent. A.J. Dillon running hard. I told everyone to be patient with A.J. Dillon because this kind of running benefits you greatly come December and January. And Green Bay has two more home games under their docket that they have for that. And plus, they go to Carolina and they go to New York. Cold weather environments are going to benefit Green Bay in the long run when you start giving the ball to A.J. Dillon. And I have to say this also, and a lot of Packer fans are being very critical of, have been very critical of Joe Barry. Some of it is understandable. The run defense has not been very good this year, but it hasn't been since Green Bay's won the Super Bowl. But this is the best the defense has been under Joe Barry in his tenure at Green Bay at this point. Now, the Packers' total defense is 18th, which is middle of the pack. It's not bad. Their pass defense is top 10, and their scoring defense is top 10. Green Bay hasn't allowed 20 points in 24 points in four of their last five games. Think about that for a second. And the Packer defense performed admirably, even though Green Bay was losing four straight games. So keep that in mind as well. And they also came away with a key takeaway on Sunday. Taking a look at the rest of the schedule for Green Bay also, the Giants are next. It's a Monday night game. It is on the road. I'm thinking that Green Bay is probably going to win that one. Because the Giants, even though they won their last two games, it was over Washington and it was over New England. Tommy DeVito is their quarterback from the University of Illinois. I think the Giants will make it competitive, but I think Green Bay will ultimately win. After that, they've got Tampa, the Buccaneers. Lambeau's not been kind to them. Baker Mayfield with one touchdown and six picks in his two starts at Green Bay. Then they go to Carolina, who has the worst record in the NFL. They're probably going to get, you know, they're probably going to have the Bears, you know, draft number one overall because they fired their coach. They have a rookie quarterback. That's going to be on Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve is the game I'm circling for now. That is in Minnesota against the Vikings on New Year's Eve. And then after that, they end against the Bears at home. Take it one week at a time, guys. This Packers team, we could see them in the postseason. I didn't think we could say that 4 weeks ago. Kudos to Green Bay. Kudos to the Packers. They are playing with like they have nothing to lose. Like they have nothing to lose. They have zero to lose, honestly. Because why not them? Honestly, why not them? Taking a look at the results from this past week in the NFL, Dallas over Seattle in a thriller on Thursday night, 41-35. Detroit over New Orleans, 33-28. Falcons over Jets, 13-8. Miami over Washington, 45-15. Houston stopping Denver's five-game winning streak. Kudos to them, 22-17. Indianapolis coming back to beat Tennessee in overtime, 31-28. Arizona upsetting Pittsburgh, 24-10. Steelers are likely going to be without Kenny Pickett for the next couple of weeks. Trubisky will come in and start for them. Chargers shut out the Patriots, 6-0. Tampa Bay over Carolina, 21-18. Tampa Bay now tied for New Orleans for second place in the NFC South behind Atlanta. Rams over the Browns, 36-19. Big win for L.A. San Francisco over Philadelphia in resounding fashion, 42-19. And then Cincinnati upsetting Jacksonville without Trevor Lawrence in the final quarter and overtime, 34-31. Kudos to Jake Browning as well. He gets a round of applause for his performance Monday night. Just five incompletions, over 360 yards passing, and a touchdown as well for him. Well, that's enough NFL talk for now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll listen to what Alex Stroph has to say from ESPN Madison about the Badger football team season. That's coming up next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
If you're looking for a freshly cut, locally grown Christmas tree, then pick yours out today at Vigoots Do It Express on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Brian is featuring a beautiful selection of balsam trees from 6 to 10 feet. Vigoots Do It Express also has a variety of wreaths from 24 inches to the big 48-inch size wreath, plus an array of holiday decorations in their trim-a-tree department. Vigoots Do It Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, ready for the holidays.
Make it a warm holiday season with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilke's LP Gas. Carrier makes one of the most efficient heating systems rated by Energy Star. Make sure you're prepared for our Northwoods winter with your new Carrier furnace. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. No matter what your home comfort needs are, you can count on Carrier and Hilke's to keep you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilke's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or call Hilke's at 453-3505, 453-3505 for Hilke's LP Gas.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. And we have a return guest welcoming back to the show from ESPN Madison. He's the host of Mr. Irrelevant every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Mr. Alex Stroph. Alex, welcome back, and thank you once again for joining me.
Happy to be here and happy to be speaking with the great people of Tomahawk, Wisconsin, Cook. Always good to catch up with you, and obviously a lot going on here in Madison, so excited to dive into it.
Well, a lot of going on in the state of Wisconsin, period. Let's go ahead and jump into Badger football. So Wisconsin, this isn't the season that I think fans really expected, but what is your reaction to them getting the Relia Quest Bowl here at the end of the regular season?
Yeah, the former Outback Bowl, now the Relia Quest Bowl. The Badgers are a national brand, so I think bowl games are always on the lookout for somebody that's or a fan base in that case that's going to travel well. And obviously, Wisconsin being one of the best in the country in that regard. So despite a 7-5 record, they'll take on number 13 LSU on New Year's Day in Tampa, Florida. And look, LSU is a tough challenge, specifically with everything the Badgers are going through in terms of the transfer portal. And I know we'll talk about Braylon Allen entering the draft in a minute. But it's going to be a tough matchup when you're playing the likely Heisman Trophy winner and a really good LSU team. But it's a great bowl selection. It's a good opportunity on a national stage for the Badgers, who, you're right, Cook. I mean, 7-5 regular season is certainly not the expectation that was given heading into the season under the first year of head coach Luke Fickell. The expectation was to be Iowa, right?
You know,
be in the Big Ten championship in the final year of the Big Ten West, but ultimately not how that went down, but 7-5 is still bowl eligible and continuing third longest streak in the country, and obviously a big opportunity against number 13 LSU coming up on New Year's Day.
Well, let's go ahead. Well, we'll go ahead and get into the matchup in just a few minutes here, Strofe. Let's go ahead and focus in on the Badgers ending the season. They finished with a 7-5 record, as you mentioned. They were 5-4 in Big Ten play. Why do you think Wisconsin struggled so much this season?
Yeah, I mean, there's obvious things to look at, including injuries. I mean, you never plan for Tanner Mordecai, your quarterback, to go down and miss several games due to that broken hand he suffered against Iowa in mid-October, and obviously missing a few games and then ultimately returning and leading that comeback overtime win against Nebraska in the second to final week of the season. But ultimately, this just is it was a year of transition. The defense was still Badger defense for the most part, but there's two inexcusable losses towards the end of the year at Indiana and then against Northwestern at Camp Randall in the second-to-last home game. It was just ugly. He couldn't get anything going offensively. He scored 14 against Indiana, only 10 against Northwestern, who was a one-win team a year ago. So the offense was just finding no rhythm. They ultimately found that late against Nebraska and Minnesota in the final 2 weeks. But it was a transitional year, and I don't think you expected it to go 12-0, 13-0 good, but I also don't think you expected it to go 7-5 bad. So, I mean, the offensive struggles certainly played a role in that. Injuries obviously played a role in that. You lose your number two back in Chez Malusi in week 4 of the season against Purdue. Braylon Allen dinged up throughout the year. The offensive line wasn't as gritty in winning the battle in the trenches that it's typically known for. So there was a slew of reasons, but I would certainly put it more on the offense than the defense.
Well, talking here with Alex Stroh from ESPN Madison, he's the host of Mr. Irrelevant down there here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Stroh, I said this throughout the course of the season when we saw that Wisconsin was going through, and I was on the bandwagon of maybe they could get 9, 10, 11 wins as well, because the only sure loss that I had was against Ohio State at home. But my thing is, I think that even though I think we put too much expectations on this Badger team, because if you look back at first year college football head coaches, it sometimes takes time to build a program up into what you want. Luke Fickle in his first year at Cincinnati, where he came from, he went 4-8. And Nick Saban in his first year at Alabama, he came back from being the coach of the Dolphins, he went 7-6. So it's not like that this is new. What do you think needs to be corrected more than anything heading into next season?
Yeah, the only thing I'd push back on you with there, Alex, is it's just, even from Luke Fickle's first year in Cincinnati, it is a completely different era of college football.
That's
right?
Fair, yeah.
With NIL and the transfer portal. So it's much more year-to-year than it has been in obviously, the past, to go way back to when Saban started at Alabama, where you had more of an opportunity to develop guys, right? You would see the sophomore jumps and junior jumps more frequently, and it's just you don't really get that anymore, right? You have so many guys, especially for a team that went 7-5, entering the portal and looking for opportunities elsewhere given their lack of playing time here in 2023. So I think for Luke Fickle, I think you're going to see him be very active in the portal and even in his own locker room, right? You got to recruit your own guys every day now, which wasn't a thing as much in the past. So it's a different era of college football, but to correct it, again, I think you need to go make a splash at the quarterback position like you did this past offseason, bringing in Tanner Mordecai from SMU. And you're going to have to fork out some cash, because that's just the way that today's college sports operate. And that's how you land big fishes like Mordecai and et cetera. So I think, you know, going out and getting into the transfer portal and bringing in some big guys, especially on the offensive side of the football, is going to be correction number one, but number two, continuing to recruit the way you have and hope you can develop a lot of your guys. But when you look at one room in particular that I think you would have liked to see step up in 2023 was the wide receiver room.
And right.
You have Chimray DK transferring as a graduate student next year, and Skylar Bell, who I was really high on, is kind of a slot guy, didn't get as much playing time as he wanted. He's going elsewhere.
Yep.
So both of those guys will miss the Reliac West Bowl as they look for their next opportunity. So, I think it's the transfer portal and trying to bring in guys that are upgrades at certain positions, including the offensive line, something we're not used to saying here in Madison.
Yes. And the other thing I will point out also, as you mentioned, you know, those two receivers leaving to go to the transfer portal, the other player that's not going to be playing in the ReliaQuest Bowl is Braylon Allen, who declared for the NFL draft last week. Are you surprised that he declared, Strofe?
No, I'm not. I think it was his plan all along, 3 years, and he's done. I'm legally required, I think, Alex, to mention that he won't turn 20 years old until January. So always comes up with him, right? When he was a freshman tearing it up, everybody always loved to mention how he was only 17 years old. So he won't turn 20 until January while he continues to prepare for the NFL draft. Now, this year certainly wasn't helpful for his stock. I think prior to the season, I was looking at like a way too early NFL mock draft, and he was viewed as a late first, early second round pick.
Yeah, he was.
He's probably now a fourth or fifth round pick, but the running back market in the NFL is so strange these days that I think no matter where he gets drafted, he'll have the opportunity, depending on the situation, to contribute pretty early on in his rookie season. So that's a good thing for him. Obviously, the dollar signs have gone probably down a little bit given his projection now, but I think he still can be a really good back in the NFL. I don't know if he's Jonathan Taylor or Melvin Gordon good at the next level, but I think he can still be a bruiser. He can still be a good complementary back, especially early in his career. So, no, I wasn't surprised by the decision.
Again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Madison here on the Sports Q&W JJQ. Strofe, let's go ahead and dive in more to the Reliant Quest Bowl matchup for Wisconsin as they take on number 13 LSU. This LSU team, they have been up and down at times, but they still have one constant. That's Jaden Daniels, a quarterback, 50 touchdowns this season. He's a Heisman candidate this year, along with guys like Michael Penix Jr. and Marvin Harrison Jr. as well. What does Wisconsin need to do to pull off the upset?
Alex, as we're just under a month out, I view it really, really, really unlikely, considering it's almost a sure thing that Jaden Daniels is going to play. You mentioned his 50 touchdowns, 10 through the air, 40 through the air, 10 on the ground for him. He led, obviously, the passers on LSU with 40 touchdowns, but rushers as well, 10 touchdowns, the most by anybody on LSU. He's a terrific dual threat quarterback. He's really, really, really fun to watch. I got to catch a couple of the LSU games this year, and he might be one of the most improved guys in all of college football this year. Yeah, the 9-3 record indicates that, you know, maybe it was a rough year, but look at the losses they took this year, Alex. They lost 45-24 to Florida State, who probably should have been in the college football playoff, undefeated regular season for them, and winning their conference championship game. They lose to them in the opener. They lose to Ole Miss, who's a solid team, in a 55-49 shootout. And then they lose to Alabama, also in the college football playoff, 42-28 about a month ago. So, number one, this defense isn't great. I think that's what we learned about LSU. But Wisconsin's offense isn't very good either.
No, they're not.
I don't know if they're catching much of a break, especially now that they'll be without Chimray DK and Braylon Allen, as you mentioned. So, I don't know. If we talk closer to, I might be able to scheme something up for you. But right now, as it stands, Alex, I just don't see a way the Badgers win this game.
All right. Again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Madison. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Strofe will stick around. Coming up in the second half of the hour, we'll break down the Badger basketball start to the season. This is the Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far today. Again, thank you very much to Alex Strofe for joining me on the program. We'll have him on a little later on to talk some Badger basketball. They're looking good as well, knocking off Marquette and Michigan State last night. But first, let's go ahead and dive into the Milwaukee Bucks, shall we?
Rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right, well, in case you missed it last night, it was a high-scoring NBA in-season tournament quarterfinal between the Bucks and the Knicks, Milwaukee dropping 146 points, a season high for them against the Knicks, who, by the way, have the best scoring defense in the NBA. Bucks shot 60% from the field and from three-point range last night. Giannis and Dame played incredibly well. Giannis with the double-double, 35 points, 10 assists. Damian Lillard, 28 points. Brooke Lopez did have a stat-stuffing night. 9 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Again, a season-high 146 points. They outscore the Knicks in the second half, 71-50. Now, here's what I'm going to say about Milwaukee. They're going to play in the in-season tournament semifinals coming up tomorrow. And again, it's still weird that I have to say that. But that dynamic duo of Giannis and Dame, we're starting to see them come together a little bit more. I remember when they made the trade, I was very excited, but I also exercised patience. And the reason why I exercise patience with everyone is because it takes time to build chemistry. It takes time to put two superstars together. LeBron James, when he joined Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, it took them a few games. I think they were 9-8 in their first 17 games. So it does take time to build chemistry, to build cohesion when you're building any sports program, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, whatever program you have, it's going to take time to build chemistry. That's why I exercise Badger fans for patience on the Luke Fickell signing. The big thing now, the only question mark for Milwaukee surrounding this team, and it really has been since the start of the season, is the health of Chris Middleton. That's really it. Damian Lillard is going to go out and get 30 a night. Giannis is going to go out and get 30 and 10 a night. Lillard is going to be the closer. The big thing is going to be, where's that third scorer going to come from? And a lot of people would guess Chris Middleton, but some nights it's Middleton. Some nights it's Malik Beasley. Other nights it's Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis. Heck, A.J. Green knocked down 3 three-pointers in the first half last night. So we're starting to see this Bucks team come together, and Adrian Griffin has done his best adjusting to what he knows best, and this is essentially a championship contender that he was handed to from Mike Budenholzer. Because the reason why they fired Budenholzer was obviously losing in the first round of Miami. So when you have a coach like Adrian Griffin in there who emphasizes defense, who knows how to connect with players, and also he's a doctor. People forget about that. He has a doctorate degree, so he's a very intelligent man. He knows the X's and O's. He's won an NBA title under Nick Nurse, who's now the head coach in Philadelphia, with Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors during his lone year there. So now for Milwaukee, they're advancing to the in-season tournament semifinals. That is taking place in Las Vegas starting tomorrow. Now, the team that they're going to be playing is the Indiana Pacers. The one thing that you can expect is that both teams, I think, will probably put up 130 points. Because both of them have struggled defensively, and both of them know how to light it up. The Pacers are playing really well. They've got Tyrese Halliburton, Wisconsin's own from Oshkosh, who has done a phenomenal job leading that Indiana team. So they're going to be tough to beat. Plus, Indiana beat Milwaukee in Indiana earlier this season. So this is going to be no cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. Now, if the Bucks end up winning, they'll advance to the in-season tournament finals, which will be in Vegas. They're going to take on either the New Orleans Pelicans, who have a good duo led by Brandon Ingram, or the LA Lakers, who obviously have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So looking ahead for Milwaukee, just take it one game at a time, because that's what it is. It's single elimination with this in-season tournament, this NBA Cup. One loss, you're out. Let's see what Milwaukee has in store for Indiana. Thank you for tuning into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Coming up on the other side of CBS News, Therese L'Esperance is in the house. We'll chat with the Hatchet Boys swim coach to break down the start to the season. We'll also have Alex Strofe back on to talk about Badger basketball. And plus, I'll make my NFL Week 14 predictions and go over how well I did last week. That's all coming up on the second half of the Sports Q. Here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk, it is 34 degrees under pretty fair skies here on a Wednesday evening, and it's just about 6 o'clock. It's time for the latest update from CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Monica Ricks. It is still unclear what led a shooter to target the University of Nevada, Las Vegas today, injuring at least three people. But Adam Garcia with University Police Services says the threat is over.
We received a call of an active shooter event at 11:45 this morning. Officers immediately responded, engaged the suspect. The suspect at this point is deceased.
The shooting happened near the student union where people scrambled for safety.
It was definitely terrifying. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh, well, I can't get out of the restroom. If I stay here, they could come in. I was like, oh, I just didn't know what to do.
Colleges and universities statewide are now closed. Prosecutors are considering possible hate crimes charges for a shooter accused of killing six people and injuring three others, including police officers, in Austin and San Antonio, Texas. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
The two police officers, one with the school district and the cyclist, are expected to be okay, but there are four cases now here in Austin, two in San Antonio. They all believe are connected, but authorities have not told us how they are linking these all together at this time.
Congress could vote soon on emergency aid for Ukraine. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says congressional Republicans must be willing to compromise on border security issues as a condition of approving aid to Ukraine. The stakes, he says, are just too high.
American boots would very much have to be involved if Mr. Putin is let to have this strategic victory in Ukraine and then perhaps goes after one of our NATO allies.
The GOP's fourth presidential primary debate starts in a few hours in Alabama, where just four candidates will take the stage without frontrunner Donald Trump. CBS's Robert Costas in Tuscaloosa.
Tonight, I'll be closely watching how Trump's rivals respond to his comments about not wanting to be a dictator except on day one. Will they shrug it off or grapple with it? I'll also be watching Haley and how she handles this moment. If she wants to consolidate that non-Trump vote, tonight could be crucial.
The Jeffersons creator Norman Lear has died at 101.
There's no reason why we have to look down on people.
Kevin Frazier's with Entertainment Tonight.
Norman Lear really was a change maker. Sure, he wrote television and he made great movies, but he also changed the way we thought. And that was an important thing. It's me.
And she is absolutely everywhere, which is why Time Magazine has picked Taylor Swift as its Person of the Year. Taylor's tour and concert movie have been huge, and she re-released two albums this year. She also started dating that guy on the Chiefs. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Aw, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walmart and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
We are following some breaking news out of Washington. The Senate has failed to advance President Biden's national security supplemental request, which included billions of dollars in aid for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific. Now on to something a little lighter. You can break out the noodles and chocolate syrup because weird mixes like that could win you cash.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups: candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
OnlineCasinos.com is offering a $2,500 prize for the person who whips up the most creative and delicious concoction that only Will Ferrell's Christmas movie alter ego, Buddy the Elf, would love. Organizers are urging contestants to let their imaginations run wild, whether it's spaghetti covered in candy, cakes, cookies, or pancakes. The group says the North Pole's the limit. Check out the website for more information. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
You can keep submitting those concoctions until next week. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. 34 degrees on a pretty clear night here in the North Woods. Here's your weather forecast from Tony Schumacher.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, partly cloudy, low temperature close to 23. Tomorrow, mix of sun and clouds, certainly on the warm side for this time of the year, high 44. Southeast wind between 5 and 10. Friday, partly sunny, low 30, high 46. Saturday, cloudy with a 50% chance of light rain turning to snow, some accumulation expected, turning breezy with a high of 36. Partly sunny and cool on Sunday, high 28. And Monday, variably cloudy, chance of snow showers a night with a high of 30. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher for WJJQ.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. That one is Enemy by Imagine Dragons, but no enemies here. We're all friends, aren't we? We are now going to get into our Hatchet interview for today. And in the house, joining me for the first time this winter is Hatchet boys swim coach Teresa L'Esperance. Teresa, welcome to the show and thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Let's go ahead and get right into this. This is the first time we've been able to talk a little bit about the season. Let's go ahead and go over your team start to the year. What have you liked? What have you disliked so far?
I love what the boys are doing in the pool. They're very exciting. They're dedicated. They are driven. Didn't like swimming three meets in 1 week. Coming off of, I had a bad case of COVID, but so that was a little struggle. So now we're getting into a routine and setting a weekly schedule of what we're doing, and it's feeling really good.
Definitely is great to hear. Let's go ahead and get into your first big invite that you had. That was down in Wisconsin, Rapids, Lincoln, with four really big schools. You had Rapids down there, Rhinelander, Baraboo, Madison East as well. What impressed you the most about that meet this past Saturday?
Well, going into that meet, we were pretty tired. And I said to the boys before the meet, I said, let's have fun today. Let's not worry about where you're going to place. Let's do what you love to do and just swim and enjoy it. And I put six of the guys in the 50 freestyle just to have fun. And they really performed extremely well. We were swimming times that should be at the end of the season with a full taper. So it's crazy. Sam Zastro took third in the 100 and the 200. And Zach Germano took second and broke his record in the breaststroke. So that was really crazy. We really, really wanted to get third place in the relay teams, and that was their big goal, and we just missed out. We really did. But the boys were excited, and we had a great time, and it was just really fun.
That is wonderful to hear. Again, talking here with Hatchet boy swim coach Teresa L'Esperance here in the Sports Q on WJJQ. Teresa, you and I talked briefly before we went on the air that you added another swimmer to your roster, so you've got eight. What do you think is this team's biggest strength?
They're bonding. They're team bonding. They are, they love to be together. They love to play Fortnite. They love to go eat. They just hang out. And they're as my new team member, Trey Mattson, he's a freshman. He's never been in athletics in his life. And we couldn't get him in the pool until he had a physical. And he was watching, and he said to me, "This looks like a brotherhood." And I said, "Yeah, it is. This is a brotherhood in the pool." And they welcomed him, and it's a great group of guys.
And it's wonderful to hear. And now, again, let's talk about the Great Northern Conference here. It's clearly Rhinelander's to beat at this moment in time. Lakeland not having a team this year, that shakes things up a little bit. Other than Rhinelander, who do you think is going to be your biggest threats in the Great Northern Conference this year?
Well, we haven't had a lot of meets, and I've been scared about Shano because coming off last season, their coach told me that she was trying to combine Seymour and Shano. But as of late, of course, last year she brought players in, right, almost until sectional.
Right.
I'm not worried about Shano. It's Anago will be our Titus match. And, I know those boys because my granddaughter runs for Anago. And so their cross team all went into the pool. And I tried to get our cross boys to come out too, but it's tough. Swimming is hard. And so Rhinelander, of course, is the team to beat, and it's impossible. They have great swimmers, state qualifiers, state medalists. And they're just fun, though. But they've embraced us, and we share a lot of laughter with the team.
That's wonderful to hear. Again, talking here with Hatchett boys swim coach Teresa L'Esperance here on WJJQ. Now, you've had a little bit of a week to get off. You don't have your next meet coming up until, I believe, next Thursday, if I recall correctly. What are you going to be improving on the most throughout this week?
Well, I told the boys after those three meets, I said, you know, and after those records that they've all had a record, personal record already this year. I said, now we're going to have to start focusing on the tiny stuff, because that's when you get to be that good, it's the little things, you know, your hand position in the water, you know, pushing off the wall, all that little bit. So that's what we've been doing this week. And today we did focused on strokes. Tomorrow we're going to play my girl swimmers. They remember this, which we call musical lanes. And they focus on swimming, and then I get to spend some individual time with all the kids working on their starts and their turns. So it's a great opportunity to fine-tune their strokes.
You know, it's hard to believe that you're getting into the little stuff and you're only a few weeks into the season. It's remarkable, isn't it?
It is. It really is, because I should be pounding the yardage on them right now, but we're not. You know, we're putting in about 4,000 yards. I like five, but it is what it is. So we do the best we can, and we set up practices so that we can benefit, you know, their strengths, and we work on that.
Let's go ahead and talk about your next Great Northern Conference duel, and then I'll let you go here. You got Shawano coming up next Thursday. What do you know about this particular team, and what do you need to do to come out on top?
They have a couple of good freestylers, but they have low numbers like us. So my philosophy with swimming, and I've talked to Coach Guru about this too, is that dual meets mean nothing. They mean nothing. It's all about getting to state and swimming at the sectional swim meet. So this week against Shawano, we're going to change things up a little bit. I want to see Dane swim the backstroke in the medley relay and see if I got another flyer, see if I can move things around to give it the best opportunity for us to focus on who's going to swim what relays. So that's what we're going to do against Shawano. We're going to break it up and try some other events.
Teresa, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
I'm just so grateful for the community, and people have, you know, they know I'm the swim coach. It doesn't matter that I did the girls and now I'm doing the guys, and guys are fun to coach. They are definitely a different animal.
I believe you.
And just really grateful to, you know, WJJQ for the service that they give to the community. I love it. You know, I'm from a small town and we never had a radio, and also to the fans, you know, the kids in school, you know, come out for swimming, come watch us. It's hard, but it's fun.
I believe it is. I may have to get out to a meet or two this season.
We don't have too many home meets, so you'll have to come.
I definitely will have to. Again, Tomahawk next Great Northern Conference dual meet is next Thursday against Shawano. That begins at 5:30. Teresa L'Esperance, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. Alex Strofe will rejoin the show to talk about Badger basketball. That's next on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Join us Friday, December 8th at 4:30 on the east end of Wisconsin Avenue for the Hometown Christmas Parade. Hometown Christmas celebrates Christmas around the world. Enjoy live mannequins and window displays from 5 p.m. until 6:30. Keep celebrating the season immediately after with Irish Fest, sponsored by Kilroy Club. Events start at American Legion at 6 p.m. Make sure to drop off your Christmas wish list to Santa's Magic Mailbox by City Hall or the Tomahawk Chamber of Commerce. Hometown Christmas celebrates Friday, 4:30 p.m. in downtown Tomahawk.
Folding a fitted sheet, programming the thermostat, matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like finding that missing sock.
That's simple human sense.
Contact Cordova Agency at 536-9576 or request a quote online at cordovaagency.com. Cordova Agency, service beyond the policy.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407 or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Here we go.
All right, welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook back with ESPN Madison's Alex Strofe. If you want to check him out, go ahead and check out his show, Mr. Irrelevant, aired every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday down at ESPN Madison. Strofe, let's dive into Badger basketball. You know, I've been itching to talk about this team. Let's go ahead and go back to upsetting number three Marquette this past Saturday. What do you think was the biggest reason why Wisconsin pulled off the upset?
Yeah, I think the atmosphere definitely played a role on Saturday. The Kohl Center was as loud as I've heard it in my 3 years down here. Maybe outside of when they had number one Purdue in the house 2 years ago. But it was an awesome atmosphere. Max Klesmet, played just bananas in the first half. He scored 21 points. All 21 of those came in the first half against Marquette. But I think the thing about when these two teams meet up, you know, once a year, every year, Marquette and Wisconsin, is their styles of play are opposite, but also work well against each other. And what I mean by that is Marquette is just offensively, they are such flamethrowers. And they didn't look that way on Saturday at the Kohl Center, but they certainly are as you watch them in the Maui Invitational and get off to the hot start they did earlier in the year, right before Thanksgiving, knocking off the number one team in the country, Kansas at the time, and then ultimately following to the then number one team in the country, Purdue, by just 3 points with a great second-half comeback. Marquette struggles defensively. Wisconsin preaches defense. And the Badgers typically struggle offensively. I think what we've learned over the course of now a six-game winning streak for the Badgers is that anybody can become that offensive flamethrower that they lacked so bad a year ago, right? Saturday it was Max Klesmet in the first half, and he just came out and couldn't miss anything. It was really quite the display by Max Klesmet, the Neenah High School grad there in the first half against Marquette, but then it just wasn't letting go of the lead, and then continuing to just be disruptive on defense, which is what was so good for Wisconsin against Marquette. And then one other category I'll highlight from that game on Saturday, Alex, is offensive rebounds, right? I mean, Tyler Wall and Stephen Crowell were all over the board, second chance points. They completely killed Marquette in that category. So really impressive stuff on Saturday, and another impressive win last night for Bucky. Greg Gard's crew obviously returns a ton of experience, but they're really humming here down the stretch.
Let's dive in more in the victory over Michigan State last night. It's their third straight win in East Lansing. That's the first time that's happened for Wisconsin since the early 60s, knocking off the Spartans 70-57. What was your takeaway from last night's performance against Sparty, Strofe?
I think, again, I mean, it's similar to what it was Saturday. I think defensively, this is a really disruptive crew, Alex. And I think, you know, a lot of people have highlighted the fact that Connor Asijan, you know, has gone from being a starter last year to only playing 4 minutes last night. But that's the reason why, is because, you know, I don't want to call him a liability, but defensively, it's certainly not his strength. And when you look at guys like A.J. Storr, who's come in, and Max Klesmet, who we talked about a minute ago, they're really solid defensively. And even a freshman like John Blackwell, who scored 10 points on the offensive side of the ball last night, was terrific defensively in his 20 minutes off the bench. So their disruptive attack defensively only caused 8 turnovers, so maybe it doesn't pop up on the box score as much as maybe I'm playing it up to be, but they just don't allow teams to get easy shots, as maybe was their struggle last year. So and then offensively, like I said before, I think any given night, anybody in that starting five can pop off for 20 points. Last night was another night for A.J. Storr, shot 4 of 6 from outside. And how about Stephen Crowell, the big man? 4 from outside the arc last night, 18 points for him. He's really evolved his game over the course of the last few years. And early on in the season, following Wisconsin's loss on the road to Providence, head coach Greg Gard kind of came out and said he wants to see more out of Stephen Crowell and Tyler Wall, as two forwards that you know have been with the program for several years now. He expects more out of them, and Stephen Crowell has been pretty terrific ever since that loss to Providence, now six wins straight. And I'll highlight this too, Alex, before we move off of last night's game. This is what's been dubbed as Hell Week for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yes, right? It has.
This past Saturday, number three Marquette, today Michigan State, who was the preseason number four team in the country, now 4-4. They have not gotten off to the start they anticipated.
No, they have not.
Viewed as a top five team in the country heading into this college basketball season. Then obviously this upcoming Saturday, Wisconsin heads to number one Arizona. They're reminiscent of the Green Bay Packers a little bit, Alex.
Yeah, they are.
The stretch, right? I mean, you view the Packers' last three games, Chargers, Lions, Chiefs. You wouldn't have been shocked a month ago had I told you the Packers go 0-3 in that stretch, and holy smokes, they go 3-0.
Yeah.
Similarly here with the Wisconsin basketball team. They beat Marquette. They beat Michigan State. It's a question mark on what will happen on Saturday as they go to number one Arizona. But they have proven this team has already gotten better, and it's only mid-December, not even early December.
Absolutely. Again, talking here with Alex Strofe from ESPN Madison here on WJJQ, the sports Q, as a matter of fact. Strofe, you mentioned these two newcomers really briefly. I want to highlight AJ Storr and John Blackwell, who have come into this Badger program and have contributed immediately. Every single time they step on the court, they are a threat either offensively or defensively. Why do you think they're excelling so much?
Yeah, I'll start with Storr. I think we saw it in the Big East last year as he played at St. John's. He's really solid on the offensive end of the basketball. Anytime the ball's in his hands, you can tell he's calculating, right? Okay, is it a backdoor cut? Am I passing and then making a cut? Off-ball movement is really solid for him, too. So everything he does on the offensive side of the basketball is impressive. And he doesn't need to be the number one guy, which I love about his game. I mean, we talked about it against Marquette. It wasn't like it was the AJ Storr game by any means.
Right.
He was able to facilitate and kind of drop and become a second or third thought for Marquette's defense. And that's what makes him so dangerous. He doesn't need to be the number one guy, although he's completely capable of every night being the number one guy on offense. For John Blackwell, you don't get on the floor unless you can play defense for the Wisconsin Badgers. And he's shown he's earned his minutes on the defensive side of the floor. And I think anybody that can play Division I basketball, Alex, knows how to score the rock. Usually that is the case, at least, especially in the power, technically six, in college basketball. But Blackwell has been really impressive, the way he can shoot, the way he can drive, again, off-ball movement for him out of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. He's been really fun to watch and evolve. I did not expect him to do what he's done and make the contributions he has early. I didn't expect him to see the floor a ton, to be real honest with you, but he's stealing minutes away from Connor Stegen, who's called his best friend on the team. So
there you go.
It's been a fun little surprise for John Blackwell, and 20 minutes and 10 points for him last night again against Michigan State was a really nice and impressive showing. But yeah, AJ Storr and John Blackwell both been nice surprises. I think you knew what to expect with Storr, whereas Blackwell has been a total surprise, but he's made the most of his opportunity, and he'll continue to get them.
Yeah, and currently AJ Storr leading the Badgers and scoring at 14 points a game. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit more, Strofe, about their matchup with number one ranked Arizona coming up this Saturday. Arizona, they have not lost a step with transitioning over from head coaches. They had a little bit of controversy going on with Sean Miller a few years ago, but now they are playing incredibly well. They've got Caleb Love, who's a transfer from North Carolina. He's averaging 13 points and 4 assists a game. They also got Keshawn Johnson, who's their leading rebounder. But the biggest reason why Arizona is currently the number one team is the fact that they're averaging more than 90 points a game, regardless of who's on their schedule. What do you think Wisconsin needs to do to pull off the upset Saturday?
Well, that's what makes this game fun. Is I've spent, the last 10 minutes telling you about how good Wisconsin is on the defensive side of the floor. This will be obviously their toughest test yet. Arizona has five guys averaging double figures, right? So they've got, similarly to how I just explained with the Badgers offense, They've got five guys, or maybe even six guys, with Kravis coming off their bench, the backup center, who could score 20, 30 points on any given night. So that they're certainly going to have their hands full. But you mentioned Caleb Love. He's the straw that stirs the drink for this Arizona offense.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember him from that Final Four run a couple of years ago for North Carolina.
Yep.
Transfers over to Arizona this year. About 14 points a game, 5 rebounds a game, 4.5 assists a game, 2 steals a game. I mean, he does it on both ends of the floor. And he's not shooting the rock particularly well either. He's shooting under 40% this year, but still averaging about 14%. So he's a volume shooter, and it's paying off for Arizona. it's funny you mentioned it, right? Like, they're scoring 90 points no matter who they play.
Yeah.
The only game they haven't really scored 90 points are against two ranked opponents, and they won them both. They beat Duke early on in the season in their second game of the year, and then they beat Michigan State, who the Badgers beat last night a couple weeks ago when they were still ranked in the AP poll. So it's been really impressive the few times I've caught Arizona. I think this one on Saturday is going to be a dogfight. I think they'll go back and forth. I think the Badgers will be in it. I don't expect a blowout of any means. I do expect Arizona to win, but I think it's going to be a really fun one and a great test again for Bucky here in Hell Week. If they go 2-1 in Hell Week, that's still a thumbs up in my book.
Absolutely. Again, Badgers, who are currently ranked number 23 in the country, take on first-ranked Arizona Saturday, tip-off at 2:15. The game will be broadcast on ESPN. Alex Strove, always a pleasure to talk with you, man. Thank you very much for joining the show, and I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, right back at you, Alex. Good time, as always. And real quick, let me just throw this out there in terms of college hoops.
Go ahead.
Parity off the charts this year. You're going to have a new number one at some point over the course of the next 2 weeks. Because not only does Arizona have number 23 Wisconsin, they also play number 4 Purdue and number 11 Florida Atlantic. So yeah, they've got a hell week of their own coming up. They also have Alabama in between Purdue and Florida Atlantic. So,
and Alabama's no cakewalk either.
No, they are not. So I mean, these are teams you got to keep an eye on this time of the year, because when you're filling out your bracket come March, man, you have a lot of really good tells of where these teams are at coming up in the next 2 weeks. All right, there's my ramble for
that. There you go, rambling. The rambling Alex Strove, if you will. Be sure to check out his show, Mr. Irrelevant, on ESPN Madison, aired every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:15. Alex, thank you once again for joining me.
No problem. We'll do it again soon.
All right, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with more of the Sports Cue right after this on WJJQ.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes design studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Happy holidays from all your friends at Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer. Make plans now to replace that old furnace with a quality Lennox model. It will give you peace of mind for many years to come. Featuring the most cost-efficient and quietest heating systems you can buy, Lennox Furnaces offers industry-leading efficiencies that can help save hundreds of dollars in utility cost every year. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing that your Lennox furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter. Get all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Explore the power of Lennox furnaces. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk. Call 453-4700. Wishing you a warm and cozy happy holiday season.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
When we show up for others, we add purpose to our lives. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we make your needs our priority, and we show up on purpose to support you. We build the relationship. We offer tools that make a real difference, and we help you navigate what's ahead. Crossbridge Community Bank, purpose first. Serving Tomahawk, Merrill, and surrounding areas. Visit crossbridge.bank, member FDIC.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 23. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 44 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies and calm. Overcast tomorrow night, lows level off around 29. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday evening so far today. But you know what? Enough about talking about the weather. What do you say we dive in to our Week 14 NFL predictions? Here we go. All right, let's go ahead and kick things off with the two teams that are on bye this week. That is Washington and Arizona. Both of them are off. Now we've got a Thursday night stinker for you. It's the Stinker Bowl between Pittsburgh and New England. Pittsburgh is going to be operating without Kenny Pickett. Mitchell Trubisky gets the start. Patriots, I think that they're not going to go very far with either Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones, the quarterback. I think the Steelers win 17-10. Detroit in Chicago to kick off the Sunday slate of games. We'll have the Pittsburgh-New England game, by the way, on the air for you on WJJQ. I do think Chicago will be a lot more competitive, and they'll remember the last time these two teams played, it went down to the final seconds as well. So I think the Lions will get the win. I think it'll be close, though, again. I think they win 28-21. Houston at the New York Jets. Jets going back to Zach Wilson. Texans currently at 7-5. They're fighting for a playoff spot. I think that they'll get another victory here. I think the Jets should just lose the rest of their games and get as good of a player as you can in the draft and prepare for Aaron Rodgers to come back. I got them winning 23-14. Intriguing matchup in Cleveland. The Browns taking on the Jaguars. Unsure about the status of Trevor Lawrence. He suffered a high ankle sprain against Cincinnati on Monday. Browns likely to go with Joe Flacco again unless Dorian Thompson Robinson is ready to go. I'm going to take the Browns in a close one, and I'm going to operate under the fact that Lawrence doesn't play. So I'm going to go with Cleveland over Jacksonville, 23-21. I guess you could say it's an upset.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
And now we got an NFC South showdown, a one that should have pretty big division implications. Atlanta and Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield and the Bucs coming off, getting back in the win column against Carolina. Hard to believe they're a game out of first place. Falcons, one of 8-6-6 teams in the NFL this year, which is shocking. I think this is going to be a close game. I think it goes down to the wire. I think the Falcons ultimately pull it off. Late touchdown run from Bijan Robinson, 24-23. Indianapolis at Cincinnati. Bengals looked really good with Jake Browning at quarterback. Let's see if he can keep it up. The Colts have really surprised some people. They've won four straight games. They're currently 7-5 and pushing for a playoff spot. Very intriguing to see how this team goes down the stretch. I think they get another victory. I think they make it 5 in a row, 27-24 over Cincinnati. Now we go to the LA Rams taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Rams have been performing a lot better as of late. Ravens coming off the bye week. Odell Beckham Jr. going up against a former team that he won the Super Bowl with. I think that this will go back and forth as well. I think it'll go all the way down to the wire. It'll be closer than I think people realize, and I think that it will ultimately be the Ravens ending up winning. I don't think it'll be easy, though. Final score will be 28-24. Let's go ahead and get into the later games here on WJJQ as we continue with our NFL predictions. Vegas at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings likely to get Justin Jefferson back. I'm going to take the Raiders, though, in an upset.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not crazy, and I'm not out of my mind. Raiders win 24-23. NFC West showdown in San Francisco. Niners and Seahawks. Seahawks are trying to get back in the win column. They're not doing themselves any favors taking on the Niners. I think San Francisco will win pretty handily. I think the final score will be 31-17. AFC West showdown. This could be a very big game that determines which way the season goes. You got Chargers on the road, at home, excuse me, against the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are looking to bounce back after losing to Houston last week. They still are riding on a bit of a high note. I trust Sean Payton to get the job done, in my honest opinion. The Chargers, I am waiting for them to miss the playoffs so they have cause to fire Brandon Staley. I think the Broncos win 21-20. Then we got a nationally televised game for you. We got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Buffalo Bills. This is a must-win game for Buffalo. If they do not win this game, they will not get into the postseason.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Yes, very serious. There you go. I think the Chiefs will win. I think it'll be close. It'll be 31-30. Late touchdown throw by Patrick Mahomes gives the Chiefs the win. Now we go to the Sunday night game. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you on WJJQ. Philadelphia taking on Dallas in a fight for first place in the NFC East. Both teams are probably fighting to beat the second best team in the NFC behind San Francisco. I got the Eagles winning this game. I think Dallas will make it very, very competitive, but it'll go, again, all the way down to the wire, very similar to how it was the first time these two teams played. Eagles win 28-27. Now we move to the Monday night games. Miami taking on Tennessee at home. Not really much to say here other than I expect the Dolphins to put up 30 or more points against the Titans like they have against lesser competition so far this season. I got Miami winning 31-20. Now our final game of the week will be the Green Bay Packers against the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants!
New York Giants!
Packers looking to maintain their spot as the seventh seed in the NFC. Giants looking for their third straight win. I'm going to take the Packers to win a close one here, 27-20. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you here on WJJQ. Again, I think it'll go down to Jordan Love making a couple more plays than Tommy DeVito. Those are my Week 14 NFL predictions on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
This is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health and Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwood's 92.5 WJJQ as we begin our final countdown here. Taking a look at upcoming Hatchet events coming up tomorrow. Hatchet Hockey Squad will have their first road Great Northern Conference match of the season as they travel to Medford. Puck will drop at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Coming up this Saturday, Hatchet Wrestlers will have their first invite of the season as they travel to Crandon. They'll compete at the Forest County Pottawatomie Center in Crandon Saturday. Matches begin at 9:30. After the hockey team plays Medford, they'll be playing Somerset. It was just in the state championship game a couple of years ago at Sarah Park. Puck will drop at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Also, upcoming Hatchet events, our next Hatchet broadcast will be on Tuesday as Tomahawk Boys Basketball takes on White Lake. Fairmont Orthodontics radio pregame show at 5:35, tip-off at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Matt Tyler will join me in the broadcast booth filling in for Terry Tim. And also coming up on Tuesday, Tomahawk JV and Varsity Girls Basketball will look for their first win of the season as they travel to Prentice. JV game tips off at 5:45. Varsity tips off at 7:15 Tuesday night. Well, to go ahead and end today's show, we'll have our first Hatchet highlight package of the season as Tomahawk Hockey got their first win over Rhinelander since 2016. And this was the performance that helped Caleb Dickens get nominated for the Wisports.net Player of the Week. The voting for that is still open. You can vote, I believe, 5 times a day on Wisports.net as well. Voting closes at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, so be sure to get your votes in. Congratulations to Caleb for being nominated. Can't wait to see more of this team as well throughout the course of the season. Our next Hatchet Hockey broadcast is a week from tomorrow when Mosinee comes to town. That will be a good one because that may determine who wins, who finishes first in the regular season in the Great Northern Conference. That's going to wrap up tonight's show. We'll go ahead and finish it off with some Hatchet hockey highlights from their win over Rhinelander this past Thursday. I'm Alex Cook. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Q. Have a sportacular day, and I will see you next week. Hey-ya! School hockey is live and on the air. A very good Thursday evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us. And we are back at Sarah Park for the Tomahawk Great Northern Conference opener here as they take on the Rhinelander Hodags. And joining me right back in the booth is the one, the only, Zach Garner. Welcome back, Zach.
Yeah, good to be here. It seems like we were just here a little while ago, but it's been a few months, but always exciting to be back. A new season, new opportunities for an exciting Hatchet team here.
Seymour looking, gets it up to Jonah Dickens. Dickens looking. Here comes a two-on-two back the other way. Jonah back over to Lamer. Lamer shot on goal. He scores! Austin Lamer gets the goal that time for Tomahawk. 2-0 Hatchets. 8:20 to go first period. Perfect pass from Jonah Dickens.
Yeah, the beautiful hands by Austin Lamer there. That was a really tight but hard pass. Caught it on his backhand, and one Deacon was able to slide it in. He's got two backhanded goals here. And like I said, patience once again and beautiful hands by Austin Lamer.
Lamer able to gain possession, now swings it over to Childers. Childers looking, shot on goal, saved by Kimmerling on left side. Rebound, Caleb Dickens, and he scores! Wow! Caleb Dickens able to squeeze it right by Kimmerling. His second goal tonight is 4-2 Tomahawk. They get the power play goal with 11:13 to go.
Yeah, that was a really nice shot by, was it Hannah that took that shot from the point?
I believe it was Childers.
Yeah. Childers, a nice shot right on the ice, and that's where that ricochet and the rebound was created from that nice low shot on the ice from the point, and Caleb buried it. He did what he needed to do, but a lot of that was from that first initial shot. That was a really nice shot right on the ice and create that rebound.
And now here is the puck going into the neutral zone and clear right in front of us. That one literally flew right by the press box into the boards, and now we will go into Bo Stromberg. Now Stromberg tries to corral the loose puck. Stromberg sends it back over to Caleb Dickens as the Hatchets return to full strength. Shot, score! Caleb Dickens puts it in the right side. He's got a hat trick, and it's 5-2 Tomahawk.
Yeah, I mean, it's been back and forth. Like I said, it's entertaining. And
yes, it
the
is.
Coaches are probably pulling their hair out. But for everyone else that's watching, especially if you're not, I mean, I don't know how many people here aren't fans of one of these two teams.
Oh, Dickens with a takeaway. Dickens with a shot and goal. He scores! Whoa! Jonah Dickens just intercepted the puck, drove right down the ice, and puts it in the back of the net at 6-3, 4:54 to go in the second period. Wow!
Yeah, I mean, it's been back and forth. Like I said, it's entertaining.
Yes, it is.
The coaches are probably pulling their hair out, but for everyone else that's watching, especially if you're not, I mean, I don't know how many people here aren't fans of one of these two teams.
Oh, Dickens with a takeaway. Dickens with a shot and goal. He scores! Whoa! Jonah Dickens just intercepted the puck, drove right down the ice, and puts it in the back of the net at 6-3, 4:54 to go in the second period. Wow! Looked like it may have been a tripping penalty, but no call there. Hannah looking to operate. Hannah over to Jonah. Shot on goal, he scores! Jonah Dickens gets another goal for the Hatchets, and it's now 8-3 with 11:43 to go.
Yeah, great pass by Sawyer Hanna there. It was kind of a backhand as he was falling down off balance, and he was able to slide it over to Jonah. Jonah did a nice job also. He was kind of off balance, but Sawyer Hanna really made that goal easy for Jonah with the beautiful pass.
Second goal of the night for Jonah Dickens. It is now 8-3 Tomahawk, 11:43 to go. And now Stromberg is going to try and center it right back around. Stromberg wants to try and find someone. Gets it back to Clifford. Clifford looks to operate. He'll try. Shot on goal. Saved by Kimmerling. Rebound. Caleb, he scores again. Caleb Dickens with goal number 5 on the night. 9-3 Tomahawk. 8:36 to go. Third period. So again, we do want to talk about this. Tomahawk has now put up double-digit goals in the second straight game. They put up 14 against East Merrill United on Tuesday. They've got 10 tonight on Rhinelander. Faceoff won by Tomahawk. Shoot, score. Caleb Dickens again. Can you say double hat trick for Caleb? It's 11-3.
Yeah, that was just right off the face off. The puck kind of, once again, Johnny, on the spot.
Yeah.
It just kind of ricocheted over to him, and he's right in the slot and the best place to score, and he did what he needed to do.
Boy, if you told me that Tomahawk was going to put 11 goals on the scoreboard on Rhinelander tonight, I would have said you're crazy. And there you go. Tomahawk with their first win over Rhinelander since 2016. They knock off the Hodags tonight. Final score, Tomahawk 11, Rhinelander 4.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5, WJJQ Tomahawk.